I'm sure that all of us have some favorite scriptures that we love, that we've hidden in our hearts. And every time we hear them, they inspire us. We want to join hands and sing Kumbaya. But I'm also sure that all of us know some scriptures that convict us. And sometimes we wish we could hit the delete key and we didn't have to dwell with them. Here is one verse in that latter category that I think that you all know. It's from the third chapter of James. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, whenever I read that verse, I squirm. I feel like God's divine spotlight is shining right on me. And in some selfish and sinful way, I'm glad that you have the same problem, because you can't tame your tongue either. So what are we going to do about it? I know we'll all convert to Roman Catholicism, and that way we can become monks or nuns and take a vow of silence. That will take care of it. Most of those vows of silence, they use sign language in the monasteries, the nunnery. And sometimes there are different rules that they have in terms of speaking. For instance, I heard about one monastery where the monks were allowed to speak a maximum of 2 or 3 words. Once every 3 years. Can you imagine that? There was one new monk that took the vow of silence, and he obeyed it for 3 years. And when he was allowed to speak, finally, he came to his brother superior and he said, "Bad bed." Another 3 years passed, and he was allowed to speak. And he said, "Bad food." Another 3 years went by, and he walked in carrying his robe on one arm and his sandals in the other, and he laid them there and he said, "I quit." And the brother superior said, "Well, it's no wonder. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here." Complaining. That is one of the tongue's habits that makes me squirm the most. And it seems like the older I get, the easier it gets to complain. I mean, everything's changing, and I don't like all this change. My joints hurt all the time, especially when it's cold. I think the side effects of the medication are worse than the situation I'm taking the meds for. I don't like these politicians today. They all lie. I don't like the weather. I don't like the cicadas. One thing that I do not want to do is to become a grouchy old man. Honestly, I do try to not be a grouchy old man. And try is something that God tells us to do about this problem. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "He who guards his lips guards his life." Now, I have to chuckle a little bit, because I can imagine that some of you couples in the room right now are thinking that I'm preaching directly to your spouse. And you don't even want to look at each other right now, do you? No, I'm preaching to myself. And if you want to listen in, that I'm preaching to you too. Now hear this. Instead of complaining, you and I need to do what Paul told us to do in Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In other words, complaining doesn't come just from the lips. Complaining starts in your mind. That's the beginning point of complaining. In that scripture in Romans 12, God is telling us that you can retrain your thoughts, your minds. You can learn to think differently. And doing that will positively affect what comes out of your mouth. Paul also told us in Philippians 4:8, something you've heard before, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He did not even imply that you try to think about such things. He said, do it. Do it. You can choose to think positively rather than negatively. You can choose to speak positively rather than negatively. Think about what comes out of your mouth. Think about what comes out of your mouth and how it's received by other people. For instance, do you know someone that complains all the time and you just somehow, you just don't even want to be around them? You want to avoid them? It's especially troubling, isn't it, when it's a Christian who does that. Here's a disturbing thought. Is it possible that there are any non-Christians who have decided not to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord because of your complaining? If you could hear a recording of what comes out of your mouth when you communicate with others, do you think you would have any cringe moments in your life? I would. Are you the type of person who likes to rain on parades? Or are you the type of person that likes to bring light into a dark situation? If you are like me, you have to go into battle with some of your thoughts when they don't conform to God's word. You may have to flip the channel in the media that you watch or you listen to, because it may lead your mind in places that do not comply with the scriptures. Being a grouch, whether you are young or old, does not reflect the wonderful image of our God that we all know and love. You may need to go into a prayer closet and maybe confess to God that you, here it comes, like to complain. Some people enjoy it. It makes them feel better. And then you need to ask God to repent. That's not easy to do, brothers and sisters. And here's something that is equally challenging. You may need to confess to your spouse or to a friend, a good friend, that you like to complain. And then ask that person to help you stay on the right path. That's called accountability. Accountability with one another in the body of Christ is one of the best ways to help us from wandering away from God, no matter what the sin may be. Accountability. Now here's a common situation. It may be your best friend or a group of your best friends with whom you enjoy complaining the most. some of the most infectious situations are with groups of like-minded people who get together, maybe for lunch, maybe to play cards, maybe to host one another in our homes for dinner. And they seem to love, when they get together, chewing up and spitting out everything that is the irritation of the day. They feed on one another. Do you socialize with people like that? Are you one of those? If you could listen to a playback of your gatherings with your friends, with Jesus sitting there and listening with you, would you cringe? Would you be embarrassed? What then shall we do? I ran across a story that may be helpful. A man's parents both died, and he had to step into the dreaded situation of cleaning out the home. It's a task that no one enjoys. And he found an old trunk full of family treasures, and in that trunk there were some letters. And of course he read them. And the first one that he read was from his grandfather to someone else in the family, and this is what the grandfather wrote. "Have I told you lately what a wonderful person you are? Never forget how much your friends and your family love you and admire you." And then another letter, and this was from his great-grandmother, and she wrote to someone saying, "You don't know how much your visit meant to us. When you left, it felt like the sun had stopped shining." He put the letters down, and he thought back over his own life and his childhood, and he realized that growing up, he never heard those kinds of positive words coming from his own parents. So he wrote a letter himself. And this letter was to his wife and his children, telling them about the experience he had just had. And here is part of what he wrote. "I don't know what generation of my family put a check on the release of positive emotions, but I do know that it seriously interferes with one of the deepest of all human needs, the desire for acceptance and love and approval. Why is it that we, wanting to hear those words so much for ourselves, deny them so often to others?" He then closed with Proverbs 16, verse 24, which says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." There's tremendous power in that verse. Pleasant words are sweet to the soul and healing for the bones. And you know what? It does not cost anything to speak pleasant words to other people. We can all afford it. We can all afford to give the gift of uplifting words to one another. Try it. The next time you feel like complaining, try praising instead. Open your mouth and bring life into the situation, whatever it may be. Your breath will smell better, and it will be more pleasing to God as well. Make it a point, in fact, today, before you go to sleep, to bless somebody with words of encouragement, with positive, uplifting words. Job 34, verse 3, "For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food." Isn't that a wonderful proverb? The ear tests words as the tongue tastes foods. And some of them are yum, and some of them are pfft. And also, before you go to sleep tonight, make it a point to pray to God with positive, uplifting praise and adoration to Him, filled with thankfulness. This is Psalm 35, verse 28. "My tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praises all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." There's where it comes from. There was a professional therapist, a counselor, a psychologist, who did a study and gave us a list of 5 results of constant complaining. I hope you don't need to hear this list, but here it is. Number 1, complaining leads to faithlessness. Number 2, complaining steals your joy, and it steals joy from other people. Number 3, complaining steals gratitude. Number 4, complaining makes you sick. And he said number 5 is complaining can lead to a slow death. Philippians 2:14, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." Do you remember the story in the book of Numbers? During the Exodus, when the Hebrews complained about the manna. They were sick and tired of manna. They wanted meat. And they wailed, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" And it made God angry. He couldn't stand that. And he said, "Okay, forget the manna. I'll give you meat. I'm going to give you quail every day for 30 days. And you know what happened? They got sick of the quail, and so they complained some more, and God got more angry with them. And as a result, it tells us in that passage, he caused many of them to die from a plague. And when I was reviewing that, I could not help but think of the pandemic. The plague. And I wondered if God is punishing the world for our complaining. That's a vivid example, in my mind, of how much God hates constant complaining. He hates it. That is a vivid example how God can cause a constant complainer to die. I want to tell you about a friend of mine by the name of Kent. Kent lives in Dallas, Texas. I may have told you about Kent before. I can't remember. I can't remember things like I used to. I met Kent in the 1970s when we lived in Cincinnati. And since we moved to Maryland in 1980, Kent has been the one person in my life who has stayed in touch for over 40 years. He calls me on the telephone about once every 2 or 3 months. He called me 3 times this past week. And he said, "I'm praying for you." Kent has this long prayer list. And he prays for the people. He sits in an easy chair. I've been to his home. And he sits in an easy chair every morning, and he prays through his list. And he calls every one of them. And, of course, he can't call them every day because there's so many. And so he calls them every 2 or 3 months, once every 2 or 3 months. He says, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. And so almost every time Kent calls, I kind of instinctively say, how are you? And many times his response is this, I'm excellent, but I'm going to get better. I love that. It is so uplifting. And it just changes my spirit and my attitude. I hope you understand, I'm not suggesting that any of us put on a plastic smile and say everything is wonderful in the world. I mean, things happen. Things go wrong. We all experience heartache and grief and disappointments. I guess what I am saying is this. If you look for something to criticize, you will find it. If you look for something to praise, you will find that too. It becomes a choice. A choice. And a choice, when you practice it, becomes a habit. There was a husband and wife who liked to go hiking. I can't understand why anybody would want to go hiking. But they liked to hike. And one day, they were climbing up the side of a steep mountain. I can't imagine why anyone would want to climb up the side of a steep mountain. I can't do it. It's difficult. Halfway up this steep mountain, his wife complained to her husband, and she said, "This path is too bumpy." He paused, and then he said to her, "Yes, it is. But the bumps are what you put your feet on to climb. If you look for something to criticize, you will find it. If you look for something to praise, you will praise. It's a choice." Now let me close by reviewing just a few of the things that God had to say to us about this subject. Proverbs 15, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Try it. Not say it. Show me. Try it. Yeah. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. And good news gives health to the bones. There it is again. God's concerned about your joints and your bones and your belly. Colossians 4, let your conversation be always full of grace. 1 Thessalonians 5, encourage one another and build each other up. That's what God says. Luke 6, for out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. And Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. Let's pray. Oh, Father, if we need it, I pray that you will restore to us the joy of our salvation through Jesus Christ. And may our lips speak that joy into our lives and into the lives of everyone else whom we meet. To his glory and in his name I pray. Amen.